So welcome to this next episode of Talk On To Walk On, Patrick. We promised that we were going to talk about midlife crisis. Now we're smiling, but actually it's actually quite a serious topic, but we will try and make it quite light and bring in our perspective. And the other reason we've chosen this topic is that I read a statistic that there are 2 billion people across the planet by next year will be in midlife. That's insane. But I truly believe that we all go through some sort of transition in our midlife. And we've both definitely been through it. As always, we're not giving advice. We're just giving you our experiences, which we want to share with you. And maybe we'll end with a bit of a framework that we think, looking back, would have helped us. And hopefully it'll help you to ride the midlife muddle roller coaster. So, Patrick. Have you been through a midlife crisis?
I think something like a midlife crisis isn't something that somebody else can identify in you. You can't have somebody else saying, oh, look, he's going through a midlife crisis.
People do that.
I know. But you've either got to acknowledge it yourself or deny it and say, no, I haven't been through a midlife crisis. I've been through this, and this, but I wouldn't have called it a crisis.
Okay.
But, you know, when it comes to me, I've had quite a few of those things that somebody looking in would tick off a list and say, oh, yes, yeah, he started buying fast cars. Your wardrobe changes. Looking back on your youth and making changes. But I think the crisis bit has got to be, you know, really sort of drastic changes to the way you behave and your outlook on life. And I don't think I went through drastic changes, I would argue.
Okay. Well, the clothes bit was definitely down to me, though. That's just moving you to Liverpool and just making you look and feel better, because you do acknowledge we could talk again. Midlife and fashion should probably be our next topic, maybe. Mm. But actually, you know, for me, definitely what I wear, I don't know whether it's not just a Liverpool thing, but it is a big Liverpool thing, really impacts on how you feel. So that was a change that we made together when we met midlife. And I think for us, we can argue that, because midlife crisis is normally the eye roll that men receive when they, you know, they marry again in midlife. They, like you say, buy a fast car. They have a job change, or, you know, people tend to feel like it's actually a bit of a veiled criticism. But I think we need to take a step back before that, because actually when you make changes in your life, it comes from a place. And you don't just go, well, I suppose you can just throw a hand grenade in and say you want to make changes. But I think most people who want to make a change in their midlife, it comes from, you'd like to think, some sort of quiet self-reflection. And then, but that is, again, taking another step back, comes from feelings of, and it comes on you, doesn't it? You know, you look it over to the second half of your life, and you suddenly at some point think, what the hell am I doing? Where am I? Where am I going? What's this second half of my life going to look like? What have I achieved? Am I happy? You know, it is a bit of a selfish move, but actually the one thing I've learned is that it's a good move and it's an opportunity. But when you're in it, it doesn't really feel like that. Mm. It's only, well, now that we're looking back, that I know that I grasped that opportunity. But that did mean that I had to make some scary moves. So you can have a choice midlife to stay where you are and stay stuck and stay, well, not necessarily stuck, stay where you are, okay? Stay where you are, and you might be happy with that, and you have to respect people who want to just stay where they are and plod, as I would say, towards the end of their life in a quiet, content way. And if that's where they are and they're happy, then great. But actually, if there's something that's niggling at you, it's never going to go away, I don't think. And unless you make those scary moves, it's going to be something that's just going to grow and get bigger and make you feel a lot more dissatisfied with life. And that's where I was definitely at. And I know when we have made our changes, it's definitely come from that place. So I think not just say, you can't just say, oh, they've had a midlife crisis. You've got to ask why people have made those changes.
And of course, midlife, as we've said before, spans a very long period of time, isn't it? It spans between, what have we said?
Well, I mean,
39 and 69, some
people say. The figures change all the time.
40 and 65, but at least a couple of decades.
Yes.
And as you were saying, things start happening in people's lives. You know, kids grow up, you start hitting some pretty significant milestone ages. And by definition, I think because it is so personal to you, by definition, it is sometimes seen as quite a selfish. Some of the things you start doing are selfish because of the self-reflection. But the crisis word, again, is I'd like to think it's to the extent that you make really drastic changes in your lifestyle and sort of drastic changes without seemingly thinking about them or so on. Whereas the healthy way we would advocate, with a little bit of hindsight as well, is to have thought through those changes carefully and in a considered way and thinking about the future.
I know, but the reality of it doesn't really work like that, does it? In fact, we look back on the decisions that we made, we don't go, oh, I'm going to sit down and think about my life in a carefully considered way. You just go, pardon the language again, shit. Oh my God, can I carry on with it? Is this what the rest of my life is going to look like? And that's definitely, I know how I felt when I made drastic changes. But actually those, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It is over a period of time within that midlife. And I actually think it can be really empowering, scary, but actually empowering. So tell us where you think it happened to you.
I think the earliest sort of wake up call to being in midlife and what things might throw at you was when I was, how old was I? About late 40s, 47. 47 was the first big hiccup I had in my life to do with my career because I actually lost my job. And that, just the single thing, the fact that I'd lost my job then suddenly opens up to your mind about security, looking after your family, can I still live here, what are we going to do, you know, so on. And you start thinking about where you are in life. And my marriage broke down when I was 50. I don't think that the two were connected, but it was within 3 years of each other. And it's only through, to use your term, self-reflection and thinking about things that you really then think, yeah, maybe I was a little, yeah, there were little indications of stuff, things that I was, changes in behavior that I was wanting to do and willing to do that I might not otherwise have done. But again, I'd like to think that they were things for the positive. Because not making those changes, and as you were saying, a lot of people elect, you know, a lot of people are happy with their lot, happy with their life, don't feel the need to make any changes, which is great in a way. But making change is positive. And I think that as you migrate or move through midlife, there are all sorts of changes you can and should make to make your life more interesting. Otherwise, there is a risk of stagnation as well. And in the things that I've read, again, with hindsight, read about midlife crises and things that we all go through, there is actually a sort of an academic or research concept of stagnation, of where individuals effectively lose their sense of purpose in life. And they retreat in on themselves as they get. And we've said in the past, we all know that loneliness in older age is quite a serious issue. So I, for one, and I know you feel this way, I don't want to stagnate.
It's a horrible word.
I know it is, isn't it?
Stagnate.
Stagnate. Yes.
It's like retirement.
Yeah. Exactly. We don't want to stagnate. We want to carry on moving on and moving.
Yeah, but that's not a crisis, is it?
No, no. But what the connection I'm making is that if people who've been through, allegedly been through crises, i.e. they've made changes in their life in midlife, I look on those, some of those positively, because it just means they're not stagnating. Yeah. They're making changes.
Yeah. But again, you've got to be so careful whether do those changes apply to you or do they affect those around you? Mm. And I think that's another very careful consideration that people need to keep in mind. Mm. It's you know, think about your non-negotiables, think about, you know, again, it comes down to what we always say, take one step. Why am I feeling this way? What am I feeling? Write it down. Why do I think I'm feeling this way? Write it down. And what's one thing I can do about it today that will make me feel better today? And then what's one thing I can do now that's going to impact and change my future so I don't feel this way in times to come? Mm. And I think you get used to that one next step, as we've talked about in our habits episodes and our self-talk episodes. You know, you make that change and then you make space to make another change. But whether that's a crisis or not, I don't know. That's something that we potentially all go through. Mm. But I do think it just becomes much more of a focus and much more of an impact, because in midlife, you know, you're then, certainly for a female, you're hit with hormonal changes, which again is a whole different topic, and mixed in there definitely for women who go through a midlife crisis. You've got, you know, children leaving home, like you said, parents potentially passing away or, you know, becoming ill, your responsibilities heightened, or they become less if your children leave. So the empty nester syndrome, all those sorts of things. And obviously we start to age. Mm. We can't help but look in the mirror and go, oh my God, you know, you see the changes and you're on the top of that hill looking down. You can only, there's only one way to look, and that is down. But what we've talked about between us is what you can do now to when you look at the future, what do you want your future to look like, and how do you want to be as a person, and where do you want to be, and what changes you can make now to make that difference to when you get towards the end of your life, you can look back and go, do you know what? I had a bloody good go, and I'm happy with my lot. Mm.
Yeah, no, we have, you know, we've talked about tips and advice for navigating your way through midlife. Now, maybe, for this episode where we're talking about midlife crisis, maybe those bits of advice for navigating your way through are in order to avoid a midlife crisis.
Yeah, good point.
And in a way, navigating your way through choppy seas, seeing what's ahead of you, seeing rocks and algae, and steering around them, and knowing what you're going to face. Because if you,
but you don't know what you're going to face, do you really? No, but you can be prepared, but I don't think you truly know what's coming.
I think,
we know we're going to age and and immortality and all that. But other than that, there aren't any certainties other than death, really.
No, but I think there's enough out there to know the types of things that you're going to face.
Okay. As in physical changes.
Yes. Yeah.
And difficulties, you know, and that kind of thing.
Exactly. You're going to start feeling old. You're going to have a crisis of confidence. You're going to start
having.
I think the research has shown with a lot of people in midlife, you start having regrets. You start looking back on your life and saying, I didn't achieve as much as I wanted to achieve. Now, for some people, they build up an immunity and they don't allow those sorts of thoughts to really get them down. But I think the research has shown that a lot of people grapple with those sorts of thoughts.
I think you're right, because certainly a lot of my coaching clients, particularly, well, men and women actually, they start with that whole, they don't think they've achieved anything. Mm. And one of the very first things that I actually do is go, really? Mm. Haven't you?
Yeah.
And just pause, and then they'll, you know, instinctively go, well, no, because I wanted to do this and I didn't get to do that. And it's all about what I didn't achieve. But actually, if you pause, and I say, I went through this myself, And you just look back and you just start making a list of actually what you have achieved, you will be astounded. So it is, it's shifting your mindset from one of potential of negativity and spiraling into what I haven't done to actually, oh, you know what? I did do that. I did do this. I did do that. And it's the simple things sometimes are your biggest achievements. Your children, your career, your job, even a job change, leaving a job, letting go of friendships, keeping friendships, you will find that you can find an achievement in anything. So again, mindset shift, but it definitely is something that midlifers tend to grapple with when they're in this period of transition, as I call it.
Sometimes I feel I'm like a coaching client of yours, because you ask me questions, and I think asking questions the way you do to your coaching clients is absolutely brilliant to make them stop and think, and maybe think about things that they wouldn't otherwise think about. And your last point about moving jobs and changing jobs, I remember reading that people who go through a few jobs in the early stages of their career, so let's say when they're in their 20s and 30s and they go through a few different jobs, they're far, far better placed to deal with what life throws at them.
Yes.
To do with jobs, but also to do with other things.
Yeah, good point.
Than those people who've maybe taken a job on in their 20s and have moved through. Now, of course, it depends on the individuals and all sorts of things to do with how resilient they are in other ways. But that's what being able to cope with those sorts of changes and life events earlier on in your life does build a certain resilience in you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I went through, as everybody knows, I've gone through different career changes and obviously divorce and single mom, and my parents were divorced, so I've had a lot of uncertainty and things that I've had to overcome. And like a lot of people, like a lot of our listeners, and it is right, it does build resilience. But sometimes you just go, oh God, can I just have some certainty and security and safety? And I think, but then when you get it, you actually then go, oh no, I want to, no, what's next now? Because I think I'm used to change. Yeah. I'm used to transition. I'm used to overcoming things. I'm used to challenges. So yeah, it's lovely to have that safety net sometimes, but actually, it can become a bit dull, and we don't want dull, do we?
I've got to say, because it reminded me just what you said. Recently, you were speaking on a panel, and I don't know if you described yourself or somebody else described you as the pivot princess.
Yes, I don't know about princess, but I'll go with
the pivot queen.
But yeah, whatever.
The two P's.
Yeah,
the pivot princess. But
I know what you mean.
All your pivoting and changing the different roles you've had have also meant that those experiences build up and you're used to change.
Yeah.
You have become used to change. You've built a whole range of different experiences as a result.
Yeah.
What's
interesting, when I had this, what I would describe as probably my midlife crisis, is that was one of my things that I thought about, because I had a lot of ends. And instead of focusing, and again, I've shifted my mind, instead of focusing on, oh, it came to an end, oh, it came to an end, oh, it came to an end. But actually, often it came to an end out of my choice, because I was ready for a new challenge or circumstances, or, the consultancy naturally came to an end and whatever. But I was always, when I was in my low points, I would focus on the end. Instead of being seen as a celebration of an achievement. And actually now when I look back, I go, actually, I've got a brilliant story to tell, lots of stories to tell. I've overcome a lot of challenges. I know that whatever life chucks at me, I know I can survive it, within reason. But you know what I mean? It's like it has built up that sense of resilience. But coming back to the midlife crisis thing, we have to be very careful, because certainly with me, I had the hormonal changes like all women go through. I had that period of reflection, which I was gifted, I always say, during lockdown. It mainly started at the end of the first year of lockdown. And then I got a counsellor. So the reason I got the counsellor, you probably could describe it as all part of a midlife crisis. But actually, because I knew I needed to talk to somebody independently to talk through my feelings. And that comes back to opening up and sharing how you feel. It doesn't have to be with a counsellor or a therapist, but it can be, you know, naturally with a family member or a friend. Don't be afraid to talk about some of these feelings that are natural and normal, but naturally, obviously, if they're extreme and they're stopping you in your life or they're impacting you in a really negative way and you feel yourself really spiraling, please do seek professional help. I do have to say that. But coming back to just what we're talking about, midlife crisis, is that these feelings are normal. And I think we have to normalize it more of the term of a midlife passage or a midlife transition as opposed to a crisis. I think if you're talking about crisis, I think for me, that would be when you need professional intervention.
But you seeking help through engaging a therapist, counsellor, is also part of that self-care bit that in midlife, we're encouraged to do to stave off, to ward off midlife crisis and to navigate our way through midlife. And you talk about achievements. And you know, you and I only the other night sat down and we said, okay, well, let's look back. We look back over a 6-month period. You know, what have we actually achieved over the last 6 months?
We did that in the last podcast episode as well.
We did.
We checked in.
Yes.
And we encourage you all to do the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So have a look at that episode if you haven't seen it. Yeah.
And again, in midlife, to try to keep that perspective on where you come from and where you're going, it's, you know, looking at your achievements and what you've managed is one of those little tips and one of those techniques that everybody encourages.
So you made important that you made the point about self-care. And again, something I massively struggled with, and I think a lot of women do, nothing against men, but about putting ourselves first. It's that whole, and it is a bit of a cliche, but it is a cliche comment, but self-care isn't selfish. And I think when you hit midlife, you've spent your whole life, a lot of your life, we're instinctive caregivers. We've naturally either had children or had parents or friendships. We've been there for people. We carry other people's issues. We listen to people's problems. We carry them. We think about them. You know, there's this metaphor about having a backpack, and you just keep adding other people's issues into your backpack, and it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And at midlife, I think what happens is it becomes so heavy that if you don't put it down, that's when anxiety and depression can kick in, because you're just overwhelmed and you're so used to being there for other people. You do not know how to be there for yourself. So again, with some of my clients, that has been a big issue. It's not instinctive to go, I'm going to put me first. I'm going to take a pause in my life, because it's not easy to pause because life just carries on around you. But you can just take even just the smallest amount of time out each day just to think, again, I'll keep repeating it, how am I feeling? What about me in all this? What is one thing I can do for me? Break the habit of a lifetime of feeling like you've got to be there for everybody else. And there's also, again, which I know, you're there for other people, but also it can come from, and again, this could be a whole different topic, that need for validation to get external thank yous or external, you know, rounds of applause or whatever else. But actually, at some point, that has to stop, and you have to stop looking externally. You have to look internally. But to do that, you've got to take that pause and actually work out what it is that you want, looking at your own values, looking at what do I want my life to look like for me, not for everybody around me, but for me. But actually, and again, I've said it before, if you struggle with looking at what you want for yourself. Look at how your moods or your mood swings or your behaviors are impacting those around you. And visualize, if you make that change, how you're going to make the lives of those who you love and live with improve. Mm.
And those don't have to be big changes, do they?
No.
They can be small changes.
Smallest of changes, but it's just sometimes it sounds so obvious.
It's making the change. And to pick up on your earlier analogy about your backpack, which is crammed full with, let's say, other people's issues that you're carrying, we're not necessarily saying take the entire rucksack off and throw it down the mountain.
No.
You're saying
prioritize.
Think about those and take some of those things out one by one. Give yourself a little, lighten your load.
Lighten your load and let go. Learn to let go of other people's issues because you can't change. And again, this is a lesson that I learned later on in life. No one is coming for you, and you can be there for them, you can support, but you can't make them make changes. They have to do it for themselves, like you have to do it for yourself. So it is like literally opening that backpack and going, what are my priorities in this backpack? How can I make it lighter to get me up that mountain or down the mountain or whatever it is, whatever analogy and metaphor we want to use. But it's a life lesson to learn to let go of other people's issues. I'm not saying not be there for them. I'm not saying don't applaud from a distance or don't be there but just learn to just take a step back. Because if you work on yourself, you're then more likely to be there for them down the line when they actually really, really need you rather than you just being there for everything, for everybody in your life.
And that is something that requires change.
That's a change I've definitely made.
Yeah. And you're embracing change is another one of those, let's say, tips about navigating your way through midlife, avoiding which would, if you do embrace change, would avoid stagnation. But change is, change and not being resistant to change means that you can then take your self-care more seriously, because that requires you to do all the things that you've just talked about in terms of self-care.
Change is scary, though.
It is. And I think
I think that's part of the problem.
People find it scary.
They scare themselves and don't then go into, and then just don't do anything because they're frightened of what's potentially on the other side. But it's trusting that. It's trusting your gut and having self-belief and retraining your brain to tell yourself that you deserve what you want in life. You deserve it, but it's not going to happen if you don't do anything about it.
Well, we talked about that in one of our previous episodes, in our big decisions episode, where we were talking about being in midlife. The vast majority of us become more cautious, and that's why we find change
difficult
because we're frightened by it. We're frightened about what it'll do for us and potentially what it'll do for others as well.
But I think that's where, again, with my clients, we talk about, I ask them, again, it's not advice. It's unlocking what's within them. What are their non-negotiables? What are their priorities? And we try and keep it really tight. So it takes more thought to create a shorter list, but it's worth the effort to really think about what is important to you.
If we're moving on to non-negotiables, there are the sorts of things that we face in midlife that we've talked about in the past, about our children getting older. We get parents often who are getting older and might need more care and attention. We might start having issues with our jobs and where our career is going and so on. All of those things require us to sit down and decide, to improve any of these, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And what is a non-negotiable? So, for example, you might say, well, I've got elderly parents who mm-hmm. live a few miles down the road. What is a non? I will make sure that I see them X number of times a week, or once a week, or whatever it is, once every 2 weeks, and that's non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So in terms of my life and where we are going, mm-hmm. that's a non-negotiable.
But there's a but there. I'm not saying a but. It's a yes, absolutely tick. But then I would ask if you're saying I haven't got the time, which is a common answer to a lot of this. It's okay. So what can you do either while you're with the elderly parents, or on the way to the elderly parents, or on the way back from the elderly parents, or what can you add on to that non-negotiable that is something that is for you, and make that a non-negotiable with it? For example, listen to a podcast, play some great music in the car, run a bath when you get home, go for a walk beforehand or after or during with them.
Learn a new language on an audiobook in the car.
There's all kinds. Yeah. There's so many things. Again, it's not easy, but just the smallest of things to add on is a great starting point.
Yeah. So things like that are all part of, or they sound like life. What we call lifelong learning, and again, it's another little strategy that we can adopt in our midlife to try to manage or avoid going to midlife crisis. You know, learning a new language, getting a new skill. If you've got, signing up to an evening class or something, joining a choir and learning to sing. Yeah, those are new things. They're continuing. They're meaning you're engaging your intellect and your brain. They're social. Often they're social things to do. And again, do that to avoid, if you can, going into that slump where you then start questioning. Where your life is going and so on.
Mm. Yeah, I think another important point, and again, this is a lesson that I learned when I was grappling with my sort of sense of identity and all that, was about a bridge, creating a bridge. So you're not necessarily, and it's coming back to the backpack point and letting go, you're not necessarily changing who you are. You're changing, making steps to what you want to become, but you need to decide what you want to bring with you from your pre-midlife self. You know, you're not going, oh, I'm no longer that person. But what you want to decide is to go, well, these are the bits that I like. This is the Michelle that I like. I'm actually going to bring those bits with me. The other bits of Michelle, that's got to go. That's got to change. How am I going to change it? What do I want the new bits of Michelle to look like? And I love this idea of a bridge. And again, that's another thing that I do with my coaching clients, is get them to think, which bits do you love? Which bits could do with a bit of work? And embrace those bits that you love and celebrate them.
Now, that made me think that one of the changes that happened to me that we talked about earlier was my new wardrobe. And I've got to make a comment on the state of my shirt. That isn't iron. Now, the old me wouldn't have dared come on this with this trendy lit creased trendy creased linen shirt. And the new me says, nope, I'm comfortable. Creased linen shirts are fashionable, so I'm told. So
I'm sure about the pink one.
So stuff it. I'm going to wear
people will have a few comments about it being creased, lovely pink. But I actually think it looks really
somebody
cool.
Somebody called one of these colours like a granddad
colour. Oh, yeah.
Colourless shirt.
So let us know whether you approve of pink granddad collar shirt.
I'm preempting any adverse comments.
It just needs a medallion there, and you'd be the... You'd be the very stereotypical midlife crisis man. But that's the thing, isn't it? It people take the mickey out of it, don't they? And they shouldn't. I mean, we can have a laugh about it, but actually it's pretty serious if you are in that midlife crisis. But you know what? We shouldn't be eye-rolling, but we can also find the laughter within it. And I think if you can find the laughter within it, then there's hope to make some great changes and see it as an opportunity. But it's when you're not laughing anymore, that's when you need to find some help. But yeah, I like that. I think you look all right, actually. You want to stand up and show your shorts?
No.
Go on, stand up. Go on. What? Just stand up.
I'll take the dog ball out of my
pocket. Look, he's got good legs. Yeah, you're not there.
Yeah, my shorts.
You got your knees, show your knees.
My legs. Oh, there you go. We might have to edit that.
I think we might. So I think overall we've established that midlife is obviously a crucial phase in the life cycle. People talk about obviously childhood, teenage years, young adulthood, you know, and all that that brings. But I think midlife is probably, I would say, is it the most crucial? Potentially, because we've all still got so much living to do. And I think that can easily be forgotten. Mm. You know, in those moments of questioning yourself and how far you've come, and then you suddenly think that, you know, mortality is it's obviously closer, but it's not actually as close as you think. I think.
Well, I mean,
we instinctively go, we're heading towards it, but there's still so much living to do.
And that's what's behind my midlife to 100 journey. It is saying that this is an absolutely crucial time of your life. It's not too late to change. It's not too late to do things to mean that you can enjoy a fantastic life for decades to come.
Yeah.
It is important.
It's an important, and I think it's a massive opportunity. It's a transition, another period of transition, which I will repeat is normal and should be acknowledged as normal. And again, I divorced 10 years before you in terms of age. And I was in that scary place in my early 40s. And I wish, again, I'm sure it was all out there, but now with phones and, okay, we can be overwhelmed with it all, but there's nothing that you can't find out there that's with someone with a story similar to yours who's survived it and come through it and has got a great story to tell as a result of it. Okay, there are obviously emotional consequences and whatever else, but invariably, if you've made those scary moves and you've come out the other side like I have and you have, then I think more of us need to share those stories. People go through really tough times and come out the other side. We need to normalize talking about it.
And that, again, another strategy for avoiding those lows of midlife and whether you call it a crisis or not, because as we were saying earlier, a midlife crisis is very personal. It's a state of mind. It's what's going on in your head. The only thing that people can see are your actions and your behaviors. So people will see your actions and behaviors and then label, oh, he or she's going through a midlife crisis. But actually what's going on is in your head. So, and again, picking up something you said earlier, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as it's not impacting adversely on other people. So if you want to go and buy and can afford a nice flash fast car, well, just go and do it. If you want to change your whole wardrobe, go and do it. If you whatever, just go and do it, because you want to do it as long as it's not impacting on somebody.
I know, but it does. I doesn't think changes
have,
do.
It doesn't have
okay,
to.
Okay, wardrobes, it doesn't that's another have thing, to. But that,
yeah,
it gets an eye roll, and what you've got to let go is let go of the eye roll, let go of the judgment.
Yes, that's
right. The fear of the judgment, and that's what stops people as well, isn't it? And I think it's that negative connotation of midlife crisis. Midlife crisis is a thing. I truly believe that. But what I don't, and it needs to be acknowledged as a thing. But what I think the eye roll we all need to stop and just have a minute and think, why have they made those changes? Mm. What has gone on in their head? You won't know, but just remember that something has gone on that you don't know about, and don't be so judgmental about it. Mm. And it could be a reflection on you that you're judging them.
I remember somebody saying to me, who I didn't see that often, and saw them, and they said, wow, you know, you're looking great. And they were talking about what I was wearing. They were saying, you're looking great. You know, every time I see you now, you're looking absolutely fantastic. Now, me changing my wardrobe over a period of time, that didn't hurt anyone. Mm. It made me feel good. It made me realize how I looked before. And it was something that I wanted to do, and I did it. Mm. Now, somebody else may look, oh, he's gone through a midlife crisis. Look at him. Look at the way he was. Look at him now. He's gone through a midlife crisis.
But the most important thing is you felt better about yourself.
Yes. And I hadn't hurt anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it made you feel better about me as well.
Yes, actually. Yeah. Which was important. That's a non-negotiable.
I sorted myself out.
Well, I helped. Hannah helped too. Yeah, that's true. So we've been joined by our lovely dogs. Are these probably my midlife crisis outcome, weren't they? Yeah. They're the best outcome of my me needs.
No, they're the things you did to avoid a midlife crisis. True.
I already had my other little dog, and now I've got two more. Best thing ever, as I will say probably in every podcast. Because they get you out walking, they give you snuggles when you're feeling fed up, and it's all non-negotiable love. But in terms of opening up, I just want to make another final comment whilst we're giving our perspective on what we, you know, and our, okay, we can probably say it's advice, what we went through. I think when you're looking to talk to people, maybe talk to people who are older than you, who've been through things, and ask them what happened to them. Ask them, did they think they went through a midlife crisis? Did they go through a change? Ask them to share their story, you know, but not necessarily ask for advice. I don't know. They say you can only find, this is where coaching comes in, the answers are within you yourself. So listen to other people's stories, listen to their perspective, take a pause, have a minute to think about what you want to look like in and how you want your life to be in the future. Do you want to end up grumpy and bitter? I don't think so. I'd like to think we don't want to end up like that. We want to end up in a place where we look back and we are happy with the choices made. Mm.
And we, you know, we all have tough times. We all experience major life events at some stage, and there are more like big life events when you're in your midlife than others, and but there are ways of managing, navigating your way through. It doesn't necessarily mean, I think the majority of people, when they're asked with hindsight, you're talking to somebody in their 70s saying, did you ever go through a midlife crisis? I think that the majority of people would say no,
and
I think they would tell some pretty good stories of some ups and downs that they've had. But I think that with hindsight, they would look back and say, well, I've navigated my way through.
I'd like to think that a lot of them would say, yeah, they've navigated their way through. But actually, it was looking back, which I always, this is the thing, when you're in something, you don't think you're in it. It's only when you look back that you think, actually, yeah, I did go through something there. So therefore, accept the fact that you're going to go through something, and there's obviously a scale of that for all of us, different for everybody at different times depending on life circumstances, but just accept it, be aware of it. Self-awareness huge. And just see it as an opportunity, not as a drain. See it as an opportunity to create that second half of your life that you want to create. That would be what I would end on.
That's a good place to end. So how do we normally end?
Let's talk on to walk on. Into midlife.
And let's see where it leads.
If you've enjoyed listening to our Talk On to Walk On podcast and you want to know more about our coaching, mentoring and talks offer, then go to our website, talkontowalkon.com. We would love to talk to you about how we can share our money life lessons so you, your team, or your students can walk on in life with confidence. If you're listening to the audio version of our podcast, don't forget you can also watch full episodes and view highlights on our YouTube channel. Obviously, if you would like to sponsor our podcast, we would also love to hear from you. So let's connect, have a conversation, and you never know where it will lead.